Naked City, written by John Sylvester and read by Nick Atkinson. John Leslie Sylvester knows where I live. Like a mafia boss's first wife, he also knows where bodies are buried. So when he put the hard word on the usual suspect for a forward to this collection, there was nowhere to run. I tried selling the idea that a picture's worth a thousand words. A Polaroid of us in flares and body shirts back when we had more hair than deep purple, maybe. But he killed that with a look that would give Putin pause for thought. "Words," he said calmly. "A thousand. By Friday." An offer I couldn't refuse. We make absolutely no reference here to the astonishing bad luck of those who have crossed J. Sylvester. Example. Nazi gangster Philip Grant, the Iceman Wilson, was shot by persons unknown in a Punt Road car park after threatening Sylvester. It seems Wilson had put a hole in his manners by vowing to throw certain people out of a light plane. Example. A Vietnamese crook, known as the Black Duke, was deported, then executed, after expressing anger at a tough Sylvester review. Example. One of the many Pasquale Barbaros sued Sylvester after he wrote that Barbaro was a mafia member. The writ lapsed when he was shot dead in Queensland. By the mafia. Example. Alphonse Gangitano was homicidal when John described him as having the brains of a gnat and genitalia to match. But Big Al's threats died when he was shot dead days later in his underpants. All total coincidences, of course. Still, it's better to be lucky than smart. Maybe the most sinister of Sylvester's unlucky enemies was the bent senior Sydney cop on the payroll of the Griffith mafiosi who'd ordered the murder of Donald McKay. It was the early 1980s. John's father, Fred Sylvester, then director of the Australian Bureau of Criminal Intelligence, warned him that the connected and protected Sydney policeman could shoot you stone dead. That got John's attention. When summoned to Sydney to testify to a royal commission about his sources, he was rightly fairly nervous. When his airport taxi driver stopped the car for no obvious reason, he grabbed the poor man in a headlock. This surprised the driver, who was actually concerned about faulty brakes and wanting to pull over to call another taxi for his twitchy passenger. The hearing didn't look good for Sylvester. Corruption flourished under the Teflon-coated Rand government. It was the era of Roger Rogerson and Murray Farquhar, Lionel Murphy and his little mate Morgan Ryan, and the bad guys had almost rigged the game. That was right up until the dangerously bent policeman, the one Sylvester had nailed in print, was exposed by a sharp barrister who noticed that all his corroborating police documents covering past activities had been signed with his recent rank. Whereas, at the time those statements and diary entries had supposedly been made, he had not actually reached...